This podcast is being brought to you by our good friends at Have You Seen That Show. Hey everybody, welcome once again to Tribute Land, the podcast with Scott Keogh. We got a great one for you today. Hey listen, to keep this thing rolling live on the air, if you can swing 99 cents, that is all we ask. If you can hop over to iTunes or Amazon.com and just buy one or more Scott Keogh songs, that keeps this podcast rolling so we can hit each and every tribute artist out there. So if you're a tribute artist, you want to contact me, just give me an email. It's sk@scottkeogh.com. Any feedback, same thing, sk@scottkeogh.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Tribute Land with Scott Keogh once again, where today's episode is brought to you by Shake and Bake Chicken. That's right, Shake and Bake, still going. In fact, they've gotten healthy, herbs and all that good stuff, seasonings for your broiled and barbecued chicken. Shake and Bake, Scott Keogh, Tribute Land. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an incredible podcast for you today. A superstar from the heartland of the U.S. of A., this guy he's as close to a tribute as I've seen, I think, around the world, and he does it effortlessly. He does it like it's no big deal. That's the coolest thing about this guy. So without further ado, Todd Bradshaw, are you still on the line, buddy?
I'm here, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Welcome to Tribute Land. You want to do this? You ready for this or what?
I'm ready for it. Let's do it, man.
All right. Let's start with all about you. What's going on in your life? What are you up to? What's your last, let's say, 6 months to a year looked like? What have you been doing lately?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a pretty crazy year. Last year I was in Branson and Myrtle Beach both. When I got back from Myrtle Beach, I actually got my real estate license, so I'm doing some real estate work during the day. I'm singing at night. I actually got picked up by a Branson show called the Ball Knobbers. I'll be doing that just 5 nights a week, Fridays and Sundays off. I'll also be back at Legends this summer. So it was really cool. Ball Knobbers show wanted me. I wanted to kind of revamp their show a little bit. And they were willing to work around Legends. They were actually willing to work around some, you know, 1-2 night gigs here and there, which I'd like to be getting into more. So, yeah, it's been awesome. You know, the family's doing great. Doing great in school, real estate business is going well, and you know, I'm doing what I love, singing, you know, God given talent. So very blessed, man.
Wow. Dude, you just covered everything. That's it, folks. That's the podcast. Thanks for coming in, Todd.
Are we done?
No.
What else you want?
you just gave us everything in one like run on sentence that was awesome. I gotta chop that up. I have to dissect all that. You just gave us like breakfast, lunch, breaks, snacks, 2-course dinner. You gave us like everything in that first couple minutes. So I gotta rewind. So first of all, folks, Todd Bradshaw, he mentioned his fantastic family, Elizabeth, and 3 beautiful children. Tell us who your children are.
Well, first off, Elizabeth and I have been married for 16 years. We have a 14-year-old son, soon to be 15 here later this month, named Luke. And then we have a 12-year-old daughter named Grace in sixth grade. And then we have my best little buddy in the whole world, Charlie Bradshaw, is 8 in third grade.
So cool. Now, how old was Charlie when I gave him that CD for the first time?
Say again. Kind of broke up a little bit.
How old was Charlie the first time that that I gave him that CD?
You were in Branson, that was about a year and a half ago, so he was probably six years
maybe
old. Maybe it just turned 7?
Yeah, right in that
ballpark. Yeah, 6 or 7, something like that.
And, he was backstage, and we were messing around, and I had a CD to give out. I gave it to him, didn't think anything of it, and then Todd comes back in, like, the next week. He goes, man, thanks for giving my son that CD. That was his very first CD he's ever got. And I'm like, no way, I'm so honored to to think that
when
he looks back at his childhood and all the music influences, he's like, remember those days when they used to have this crazy little disc and you'd put it in the place and it'd play? I think they used to call them CDs. Anyways, this one cat.
He thought that was cool.
So, yeah.
He did.
I did too. All right. So let's back up a little bit. So you grew up in Missouri. You're a Missouri dude through and through, right?
Yeah, I've always lived in Missouri. I grew up in Maryville, Missouri, which is about an hour and a half north of Kansas City. And grew up there in pretty much the same house my whole life. I went to college. Never really planned on going anywhere else to college. I just kind of planned on my head that I was going to go to Northwest Missouri State University and be a Bearcat. So I didn't even apply to any other colleges. Went there, graduated in 99, and, had a great childhood. It was a great town to grow up in, very blessed. Had a lot of people, even to this day that have, supported me from Maryville. Very fortunate to have that, have friends and family that were supportive of me and what I love to do.
Very cool, man. So you're a learned family man in Missouri. From Missouri, part of the heartland of the U.S., and yet you've been in Branson, though, doing your performances for quite a while, too, including many shows. These are just the ones that I've heard of that you did, which was the Shoji Show, which if you get to Branson, anybody that's listening, from New York to California, go to Branson, and even if you don't see the Shoji Show, you got to at least go to the restrooms, because that's the cool part of that theater.
That's right.
Is that these restrooms are like made for a king. Pretty cool. And then you were a show called Lost in the 50s, Sundown Jubilee,
yep,
at Silver Dollar. And then you spent a few years with the Grand Jubilee and the Grand Country. So tell me about this, all those things, your country influences, your not country influences. Tell us about your music stuff and when it all began.
Well, I guess, growing up, I didn't have a very good experience, like the last part of junior high with music. Just didn't really care for the music teacher. So I didn't take, like the first few years of high school, and then I kind of took mixed choir kind of just to fulfill that requirement, and then the music teacher's like, oh my gosh, where have you been? And so I guess I got a little more involved my senior year, did Poor State Honor Choir, all district choir, that kind of stuff. And I had I'm not really a theater guy, but I was in a show called Guys and Dolls in high school. My senior year had a solo in that musical. And, from there, I guess, my sister's, what really kicked off the country thing, which I wasn't a big country fan, by the way, I actually hated country music. Mm. But my sister had a friend that was getting married. She couldn't find anybody to sing in her wedding. And my sister said, well, my brother's, is a pretty good singer. Maybe he'd want to do it. So she asked me, and it was a couple country songs. And, it just, came pretty natural to me. So, after that, I still loved all kinds of different music, but I started listening to country a little more. And then, I guess gained a love for country music, over time since then.
Sure. That's cool. So it's like, I do not like this music called country music. However, I can do it pretty well, so maybe I should take a second look at this thing.
Yeah. I had a buddy that I would ride to high school with, and he had the country music station on, and every time I get in, I'm like, dude, turn that off. It's terrible,
Right.
And then, as I started listening to it more and more, I'm like, this isn't all, this isn't all bad like I thought, sure. So, I started listening to guys like, George Strait, Colin Ray, some of these guys, which are, were influences of mine, which I love to listen to.
Very cool. So when you didn't like country in the beginning, what were some of the things that you did grow up liking during, say, grade school, junior high school?
Just music or in general, you mean?
Yeah, just in general. I mean, like, for example, my influences were all over the board. Michael Jackson, Van Halen, Jim Blossoms, just, Huey Lewis, pop, pretty much just pop at the time.
Holy. Yeah. Well, I guess, the music blaring in my station, when I was, driving up and down the road, cruising with my friends was, Metallica and Guns N' Roses, that kind of stuff. You know, I dreamed of, you know, like a lot of little boys growing up, you know, to be a professional baseball player. You know, I was a huge Royals fan, George Brett fan, Bo Jackson fan. So, you know, I guess, you know, I always played baseball growing up, you know, so I love that. And then, you know, like I said, that hard rock, I guess. I think my first cassette tape was actually Twisted Sister, if that gives you any idea.
The big hair glamour.
I remember that. Oh, yeah. I want to rock. That's what.
That's great. Okay, so you came out of the gate a rock and roller, and then you kind of tailored over to country, which is a good fit for you. And for those of you who have not seen Todd Bradshaw perform as Kenny Chesney, that's something you guys should do in the next year, is see what he does, because it's quite remarkable. And in that vein, when did you realize, Todd, that you were a good fit for Kenny?
Well, you know, I've been here's the really neat thing. In all of the shows, which I don't know how many shows I've done. I've probably done, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 shows here in Branson. I had never done a Kenny Chesney song in a show until I was in Legends. How crazy is that?
Well, it's crazy.
You know, so
it's crazy,
I guess. Yeah, you know, but, you know, I'd heard a little bit, you know, when I was younger that, hey, you kind of have a resemblance to Kenny Chesney. Didn't really think too much about it. I was actually doing the show, The Grand Jubilee. A couple of the guys from the Legends show had come over to watch our show. And after the show, the guy that was doing the Tim McGraw, he leaned over and he's like, dude, you could do Kenny Chesney so easy. And, you know, I guess after that show, I ran back and I was talking to our female vocalist, Jackie Brown, which she had been in a singer-dancer in Legends for a couple of years before that. So I kind of told her, you know, what the guy said. And she's like, you know what, if I run, you know, next time I run into Jeannie Horton, the GM, I'll kind of put that bug in her ear. Well, you know, long story short, she runs into Jeannie Horton literally the next day at Target. And she tells her about me, and she's like, oh, my gosh, have Rob, my husband, he's the production manager, and maybe set up an audition. So I called Rob. I set up an audition. He's like, oh, yeah, man, put together a video audition and send it to me. So I was in the process of that. I called Rob like 2 days later, and I had a question about something, you know, as far as the video for the audition. And he's like, would you want to just come in and do it on stage? Would you be ready for that? And I'm like, yeah, when you want to do it. So, yeah, I think a couple days later, came in and did the audition. He's like, my gosh, this never happens. You know, like, I put you in the show tonight. Yeah. So, you know, thinking it might be a quick thing, you know, we sent off the audition to Vegas. From what I understood, they liked it, but nothing really happened. So I did the Grand Jubilee for another year or two. And then from what Rob tells me now, you know, they needed a country act. And, you know, they were trying to think of who to put in there. And Jeannie and Rob were like, what about Todd doing Kenny? So they resubmitted the video to Vegas. And Vegas, like, flipped out. And they're like, where's this guy been, you know? And, you know, Rob and Jeannie are like, well, oh, we've known about him for a couple of years. You know, we sent the video to you a couple of years ago. So anyway, they put me in the show that summer. And man, it went over really well. I was so blessed and fortunate that it went over so well. They had me come back for a couple seasons last year, and then Myrtle Beach, of course, wanted me last summer, and that was a blast. I mean, I'm just so it's been so much fun. I wish I could do it all the time.
Yes, well, Myrtle Beach was cool. I got to visit Todd and Nelly and the whole crew at Myrtle. Which,
yep.
By the way, for those of you who know Nelly, Nelly Norris as Katy Perry. Todd is kind of like the male equivalent of Nelly in that like everyone in Legends gets along with Todd. And that's a rare thing amongst us crazy people in Legends. Todd has this reputation of just this all-around cool cat that you have no problems with ever. He's just too easy. I don't know what's wrong with him, actually. He's got issues.
Well, I appreciate that. I definitely hope I come across like that, because I just like to get along with everybody, you know, and I try to be pretty easygoing. So
I
just want to go out and have fun, you know, that's what it's about, man. I enjoy my time with you and your wife.
Yeah,
summer.
I had a blast then. I had a blast on our run in Branson, even though you weren't in the show as long as I had hoped for. It's like you were kind of in and out, and then you were doing some sub fill-ins, and you weren't in that run like every day. But the days that you were in there, you know, we had a good time, and I love making fun of your one line, which Todd as Kenny Chesney. He does this this fast song, and then when the fast song ends, he starts into a slow song. He's like, all right. Last night, we invited some people up to do some slow dancing, and we had about 250,000 people that came up. So let's just try to break that record. And there's like only like 350 people in the crowd, but it's, you know, it's I give him a tough time with it. But then after that, he says, so gentlemen, you're gonna want to take your ladies out here as soon as I give you the cue. I'm not gonna give you the cue just yet. And then the music starts like 1 second later, and then like count one, two. Okay, here's your cue. Get out here.
I've changed it up a little bit since then. I think I used to say, you know, I'm going to give you a cue here in just a minute, and then like literally the song starts. There's your cue. So I say I'm going to give you your cue. I'm going to give you your cue here in just a moment.
It brought me so much joy. I'm on the wings. I'm like, watch this. As soon as he says the word moment, I'm like, I'm gonna start counting on my fingers. 1,001, 1,000. Okay, here's your cue, gentlemen. Get out here.
Yeah, it's about two. It's about two.
It was so much fun. Oh man. Hey, people made fun of me my first time in. Whenever I introed Sway, I go instead of 1, 2, 3, 4. I'd be like a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4. They're like, dude, what are you, the count from Sesame Street? What is this?
That's great.
And I mean, what's doing shows if you can't take some ribbing from the people you do shows with? It's part of the business. That makes it fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you better be able to take it because it's going to happen.
Exactly. And probably from Rob, too. You know, if you can't take it coming from Rob, you definitely can't.
Oh, of course.
No, but Rob and Jeannie are the best. They're fantastic. They take pride in their theater, and they take ownership of it. And they really do a great job. Everyone loves Rob and Jeannie. So if you're ever out in Branson and you want to meet the behind the scenes, definitely meet Rob and Jeannie Horton. They're the cool cats.
Oh, they're so easy to work with. You know, they just create a nice working environment. You know, so I just enjoy going in there. You know, that's nice. That's very nice too, where you look forward to going in.
Yeah, awesome. it's a great crew too. All the dancers, band, including the tech. Sound and lights, they have that board really really dialed in. And I don't know, is Kev still doing the band directing?
Yep, Kevin Allen.
Yeah, Kevin is
directing the band.
He and his band, they have a fun time, and they're really good. And then on top of that, the sound in that theater is probably one of the best sounds in Branson. I mean, you got Clay Cooper's Theater, that's good. They have Six. That's a good sound as well. You know, I'm a theater snob. I dissect the sound in these places. And Dick Clark is great.
Oh yeah, Russell does a great job.
He really does. Okay, let's get some crazy questions here, Todd. What are you thinking about while you're performing? Like, what's going through your head as you're actually singing?
You know, it really varies. You know, as you know, as many shows as we do, sometimes your mind can drift. You know, it's bad when your mind drifts during the show and then you kind of realize it. You know, I mean, there's been times where I've mowed the yard, you know, in my mind during the show. I mean, it really, you know, you never know where your mind's going to go. I try not to do that, but sometimes it just happens, you know. But yeah, like it's crazy when your mind drifts off and then you kind of realize and you're like, oh, have I done that verse yet? Or what part of the song am I in? Mm. You know, so staying on task is key.
And it's hard because once you do more than 10 shows of the same exact kind and they're pretty much the same note, you know, with variables, you get in this pattern.
Yeah.
And then you start trying to branch out of that pattern. Like, all right, I've got this down. Now what should I do while I'm up here? Oh, wait a minute. I shouldn't be thinking these things. I should be back to this moment.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
They interviewed Buble one time and they said, hey, do you ever forget the words? He's like, yeah, just 2 nights ago, I forgot the words to Home, the song that I wrote I'm singing home and I'm blah, 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 watermelon, yada, yada. And I'm listening to this interview. And as I'm listening to it, I'm like, oh, that's cool. I've never missed the worst of home. And that very next day I had a show, and in the middle of home, I'm thinking of Buble's interview about missing words to home, which I'm singing at that time.
Oh gosh. I did a show in Oklahoma last weekend. It was a Saturday and a Sunday night. It was kind of a dinner show, Valentine's. And I had a couple different sections. One section I did Kenny Chesney, the other one I did not. I did other stuff. But in the Kenny Chesney stuff, I did a couple songs or three songs that I do in my set at Legends, and I forgot the words to a section both nights in the same song. I'm like, what is, I mean, hopefully I covered it up well enough. I don't think anybody even knew, but I knew. I'm like, oh my gosh, how is that even possible? You know, not just one night, but two nights in a row. Oh. So that I guess that's another trick is to play it off like nothing happened.
Yes.
You know, hopefully I got away with it. I'm going to say maybe I did.
You probably did. You know, we're the toughest critics on ourselves. but you just saying that on the air here on the podcast, you've already made a number of musicians and entertainers who are listening to this smile, because misery loves company, and we've all been there. We've all been in that moment, and we don't want to think that we're the only ones that messed up and did this wrong or missed a word here. We take comfort in other professionals who do this for a living mess up, because hey, it's live, and you can't be perfect 100%.
Live theater, man.
Yeah, that's why people go.
Live entertainment.
That's why they go, I think, to these things, is to see, can they pull it off? And if they can't, how can they cover it well?
Well, you know, especially in Branson, we have a lot of repeat visitors. You know, we're season pass holders, whatnot. And I think that's what they're looking for, because it's the same show that they see all the time. But, man, when something, even a minuscule thing, is different in the show, man, it just makes it for them. They love it. That's what they're looking for.
You're right. They're looking for that personal connection. You know, speaking of that thread, what do you want your audience to feel in your shows?
You know, especially when I'm doing the Kenny Chesney, you know, I want them, I mean, like all of us tribute artists, I want them to think, you know, kind of forget that they're watching me. I want them to feel like they're in a Kenny Chesney concert, only they didn't have to pay, you know, a crazy amount or be amongst 100,000 people. You know, some of his crowds are crazy. But, you know, they can come to Branson. They can, you know, sit in a nice theater, have a good time, and feel like they're, you know, just having a fun time, you know, laid back, just having a fun, forgetting about everything else. That's what I strive for.
Yeah, you know, that's funny, because Kenny has so many songs that stress that, which is kick your shoes off, sit down in a chair, grab a Corona, put your feet up in the sand, and put your hat down over your head, take a nap at 2 o'clock in the Bahamas. And folks, when you go see Kenny Chesney, as known as Todd Bradshaw, you're going to get that feeling. I got that feeling, and I was in the wings. I wasn't even watching it from the audience. I was in the wings going, ah, oh, this is relaxing. This is nice, you know. And I'm not thinking.
Cool, that's great.
I'm not thinking I gotta go up and do my show. I'm thinking, yeah, I do need a beverage right about now. I want to relax and just kind of slip into this little hypnotic thing that that Todd's throwing down. So tell me about your any singers in the family. Do you play any instruments? Are you jealous of anyone that plays instruments? What's the musical influence in your family or yourself? I guess I should say.
Well, I think all my kids can sing. I don't necessarily think that they think it's cool as of yet. They may, but they're all entertainers in their own right. You know, my youngest is just where he comes up with some of the stuff, I don't know. He's just fun, naturally funny. And, you know, my daughter's kind of the same way, and she's always, you know, singing or dancing or doing something. And my oldest one is too cool for school, I guess, you know, especially for the singing. But, you know, he's all about the hair and that kind of stuff. You know, I guess I play guitar a little bit. I'm very jealous of, you know, really good guitar playing because I love it. You know, I wish I could do that, which I know that takes just tons and tons and tons of practice. So, yeah, I guess that's it. You know, my wife has some singers in her family, so I think the kids get it from a little bit of both sides.
Sure. That's cool. So guitar, I'm the same boat. I play guitar a little, enough to do songs with, but whenever I see someone just start busting into a lead like Kevin does, I'm like, ah, oh, that's so tasty.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very jealous of that I can't do like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So what keeps you going in all these ups and downs, the rejections, the acceptance, the road away from your family sometimes, the drive? What keeps you going, like, in this entertainment field?
Well, you know, I feel like it's a God-given talent, and I need to be doing that in some aspect. And I enjoy it. I enjoy it so much. I was out of it for a brief year and a half in there, right before Legends called me up, and I missed it. It's not something that I feel like I need to do every day.
Sure.
For some kind of fulfillment, but I do enjoy it. You know, so I haven't really had to go on the road too much other than Myrtle Beach. I mean, I've done some, you know, 1-2-nighters here and there. You know, being away in Myrtle Beach, although Myrtle Beach was great, it was a little too long to be away from the family.
Sure.
You know, really, you know, what I would like to do is, you know, like right now, I mean, I feel like I've got the best of both worlds. I'm going to be doing the Bald Knobber show. Spring, pretty much spring, fall, and winter. I'll be doing Legends during the summer. So I get that taste of the branch and schedule. But I'm free to go and do some 1-2-night gigs here and there is what you and I have both talked about. I really want to get into doing a lot more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, me doing what I do, I see a need for your Kenny Chesney to branch out to all over the place. There's a guy in Florida. I forget his name and what city it's in. This is like a few years back. But there's a Rod Stewart tribute. And he...
Is it Rob? Rob Caudill, maybe?
No, it's not Caudill, because Rob travels and does Legends still and does a bunch of stuff. This guy...
Gotcha.
What he does, he doesn't go anywhere but the same place, like, all the time. There's this one, like, bar, lounge where he comes in, and it's like a full show that people come in for, and it's probably, like, I don't know, twice a week, maybe once a week, something like that. But it's a treat, I guess, and he comes in and just gives people this 2-hour show, and he just goes forever. And I don't know how he keeps his vocal cords going, but he does long, long shows from the bar where it's just him and the piano sometimes, him and a guitar. Sometimes they have a band, I guess, but it's really a beach type bar. And I can see you doing that on like a high scale, like a Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville type place where, you know, it's Kenny Chesney night every once a month somewhere like that and just rocking it. I just see you and the beach and... and corporate events. When corporate events do beach-themed parties, you'd be all over that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. That's really what I'd like to get into doing, you know, really creating that longer show and get out and do, you know, you and I have talked about this a lot. I think, you know, corporate events and fairs and festivals, I could really see the Chesney show being really big in that.
Oh, yeah, all three of those. My act doesn't do well at fairs. It does okay in festivals if it's a wine festival, if it's like a high end. But once you get down to NASCAR and beer, I'm out. That doesn't work for my character.
Yeah.
But Kenny Chesney can go any of those.
That's where I step right in.
step aside, Buble. I got this.
That's right.
Oh, that's funny. All right. So speaking of Kenny. Tell us a few things. What are some cool things about Kenny that we may not know that you probably do know?
Oh, man. Well, one really cool fact, he does these stadium events. And last summer, I think he had almost 58,000 people at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, which is, you know, that's the largest concert ever at Arrowhead. That's everybody. That's Pink Floyd. That's any rock and roll band, anybody you could think of. He's done a bigger show than them there at Arrowhead. That's just a phenomenal fact, you know. And, you know, a lot of people might not realize how long he's been at it. I mean, he's been at it, gosh, a good 20, 25 years now. And hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
It's just, it's amazing to me that, you know, when I'm going through, you know, trying to pick out a set, which actually I was doing that right before, you know, you called me, because I want to change up my set a little bit for this summer. And, you know, I'm going through these songs, you know, some of them, and I'm a Chesney fan, and I'm going through these songs and I'm like, oh gosh, I forgot about that one. Oh my gosh, Kenny did that one, you know? And it's like, man, I could do a 2-hour, you know, I told Rob Horton, you know, I texted him the other day and I'm like, Rob or Jeannie, one of the two. And I'm like, I could create 4 sets with like top hits, you know? So it's not like he's got these little small group of songs that I could do, you know, a set with. Like, I've got just so many songs, it's really tough to narrow down.
You're like, hey, Rob, can I do a 3 o'clock set and then change it for the 8 o'clock set?
Yeah, man, that'd be so much fun.
So let's talk about how long does it take you, well, how long did it take you, I should say, to nail it, to get the act down? Was it a long process or was it just like, wow, I can do this right away?
It really came, you know, not patting myself on the back, but it really came pretty easy. You know, I'm working on another character right now that's particularly a little more challenging, but the Chesney thing, I mean, obviously I studied his music. I knew his music beforehand, but some of his moves and different things I studied a little bit, you know, I watched YouTube, but it really came pretty quickly.
And the cool thing is that he's not too eccentric or over the top in any, you know, flashy kind of crazy way, like say Michael Jackson, Lady Gaga. And so,
right.
He like my character, it's a little more simplified of a person on stage. And of course, then there's the hours and hours of wardrobe and makeup that we both have to do, right?
Oh gosh, I know. Isn't everybody jealous of us? Especially on Legends.
Yeah,
I mean, they've called places before. I hate to say this about myself. They've called places before, and I've been talking to somebody. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I better get my pants and my jeans and my shirt on. You know, so I throw the cutoff on, the hat and the necklace, and, you know, pretty much go. I'm pretty fortunate.
Yes, definitely. Meanwhile, there's, like, grown men that are in the dressing room that have been putting makeup on for an hour.
For an hour. I'll tell you a really funny story that I don't know many people know. It was my first summer in the show. We had Wednesdays off, so this was a Thursday afternoon show. I had taken which I just told you that I kind of wait till the last minute sometimes. Typically not till when they call places, but sometimes when they call 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, I better get dressed real fast. And I was in Dean Z's dressing room, the guy who plays Elvis. And they called 5 minutes. So I'm like, oh, I better go get dressed. Well, I completely forgot that I took my jeans home to wash, and I left them in our laundry room. So I come back into Deansy's room. I'm like, guys, I got a little bit of a problem here. I have no jeans for my set. Deansy literally took his jeans off of his body and gave them to me, and I went on stage.
That's how we do it. That's in Branson, crazy. Right there.
Yeah, they weren't. However, they did fit. However, they were a little more of the skinny jean type, so I barely got them over my boots. And some say I looked a little bit like Woody on stage. So that's kind of
not able to bend at the knees.
But we pulled it off.
Nice. So, how far do you want to take this thing, Todd? I mean, do you see yourself playing at Chiefs Stadium?
Man, I'd love to. You know, that's always been my dream to be, you know, to be the George Strait, to be the Kenny Chesney. Hey, we'll see. Who knows? You know, I don't know what else to say other than that. I would love to be, you know, performing events like that and selling out stadiums. It'd be phenomenal.
I love it. Yeah, I'm always encouraging Todd to do that. I see the massive potential that your tribute has across the country just to get your name out there. And then once you do that, then you may have a platform to branch out and then just do Todd Bradshaw. But
yeah,
I see it happening for you.
Well, so thanks, man.
What is something, Todd, that that people may not know about you?
Something that people may not know about me? Oh, gosh. I'm a little bit of a golf nut. You know, I
heard you were a lot of a golf nut.
36. Yeah, I like to play golf. I don't get to quite as much as I'd like to. But I mean, I'm even out of my yard. You know, if I get a few minutes, I'll go out in the yard and I've got little foam golf balls. I'm hitting those around, but I'm usually watching golf or working on golf or practicing or playing or something. You know, I'd definitely rather watch like the Masters than the Super Bowl. I mean, by far. So yeah, I just eat it and breathe it. You know, I just enjoy it so much.
Nice.
So Myrtle Beach and I were a pretty good fit.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of golf out there. So it was good.
That's awesome. Did you get any hookups from being in the show for golf,
absolutely. Yeah. Bruce Bailey, our sound guy out there, actually had some hookups. So, you know, being friends with Bruce was a good thing, you know, cause, he got hookups and I got hookups. So, you know, we played a lot of golf together and had a good time out there, Bruce and I.
Very cool, man. Very cool. So,
yeah, you bet.
So is there any part of the entertainment process you don't like the business side of it or the practice? I mean, is there something that you just like, I don't want to do that?
You know, I would probably say rehearsal. I mean, I've been in shows, not necessarily with legends, but you know, I've been in some shows where it's been like, you know, a month of rehearsals. You know, with legends, you know, I couldn't believe it because it was complete opposite end of the spectrum. You know, I literally had, well, you know how it is, but you know, for those that don't, I literally had one rehearsal with the band and the dancers, and then like that was on a Tuesday, and then the show started on Thursday. So it was the complete opposite end of the spectrum, but you know, you go in prepared and you know your stuff. It does come together quite nicely.
Yes, yeah. Legends has a formula, and for those of you who are wondering what Legends is, Legends in Concert is in the Dick Clark Theater in Branson, and they're also in Vegas and a couple other locations throughout the country. And they put together shows that usually have 4, 5, maybe 6 different tribute acts. And they have a formula that they implement in all these places where each performer gets about 15, 20 minutes time. And they do that same show every day, but it's a different audience every day. And so that's why it works so well, is because they go to places that are huge tourist attractions like Branson, Myrtle Beach, used to be Atlantic City when they were running through there. There's a place in Canada. A casino, there's the cruise ship, and then of course
Hawaii.
There's Hawaii and Vegas, and these are all places where there's a new tourist there every day, and so doing the same show never gets old because it's always new to somebody. So it's a good formula, and it works well, and once you do a show the first time, you get it. You're like, oh, okay, so this is just a routine, much like a musical where everyone has their cue. And, you know, you need to stay within your 15 or 20 minutes or whatever so that the whole show doesn't just get out of hand. So it's a pretty tight production.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm going to be in Branson for a short feature run in May, the first 2 weeks of May.
Oh, really? I start May 19th, so we'll miss each other again.
Well, we'll miss each other in the show, but we'll go golfing.
Absolutely, we will.
Go golfing. You can show me some real estate.
there you go. I can definitely hook you up.
I'll jump over to your show and, you know, see what's going down over on that end of the strip.
Sure. Yep.
And then catch myself like one of those giant ice cream cones at that all-night ice cream place they have after shows. What's that place called?
Yeah.
It's like right there on the turn.
Cold Stone Creamery or Andy's?
Andy's, man. Everyone hangs
out at Andy's Frozen Custard.
After the show, people are just like lining up for that stuff.
Oh, yeah. You might find yourself across the street at Subway, I would imagine, when you're here.
You'll find me there. My two
tuna, inside joke.
Tuna salads galore. How'd it go? Oh, my God. All right. Well, very cool. So, Todd Bradshaw, do you have anything last comments you'd like to say to all your fans, your friends, your family, your associates, your coworkers? I'm going to try to blast this out to everyone I know in Branson and Vegas and across. And of course, you're encouraged to share this little podcast with who you know. The goal here, of course, is to get your story out there, to get you more gigs, and hopefully I've pitched that out there a little bit. Todd's definitely a great Kenny Chesney and other singers as well, but Kenny is seems to be his featured act. And then so I'll let you I'll let you wrap it here and just say what you'd like to Tribute Land listeners.
Well, I want to encourage everybody first and foremost to come, you know, see us in Branson and, you know, check out Legends while you're here in town. Branson's a wonderful place to bring your family or get away, you know, for a weekend. You know, it's within driving distance from like half the country, you know, like, you know, short driving distance, not like a long time. So get to Branson, see some shows, make sure you come see us at Legends in concert and at the Ball Mobbers. I'll be there as well. And then, you know, if you have any outside events that you'd like to book, you know, like a Kenny Chesney or a Michael Bublé tribute, I know a couple guys that could kind of fulfill that for you. That would be a lot of fun. And like I said earlier, I'd really like to get into doing that. And then I would like to, you know, thank everybody that has supported me over the years. You know, I've been at this, you know, quite a long time now. And, you know, I'm just very fortunate to have always had such, you know, faithful followers and friends and family. So anyway, I'd love to see you. Come see me.
Awesome. Todd Bradshaw, everybody. He brings a whole lot of class to a very sketchy industry called entertainment. And he brings it and he has a blast doing it. He's always smiling, doing his beachy country songs. And I can't wait to harass him some more with whatever in between words he has to say. I do love that. Todd, thank you so much for coming into Tribute Land, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thank you so much. To your wife, I said hey, and see you soon, brother.
See you in 2 months.
Okay, buddy. Have a good one.
Thanks, Todd. All right, well, that's it. And as we end every single Tribute Land podcast, we end it with a shout out and a salute to a Elvis Presley tribute act. Just a little spotlight feature. And today's spotlight Elvis Presley tribute act is Jay Dupuy. And that's spelled JayDupuis. Now, Jay and I have done a couple shows together about, 2.5 years ago, in Atlantic City, in Bally's, and he's a really solid Elvis. He comes from Louisiana, and I'm going to give you his contact information here. I'm going to pull it up. It's on Facebook, and you just go to facebook.com/JayDupuisAsElvis. I'll spell that for you. JayDupuis, and then the word as, A-S, and then Elvis, E-L-V. IS. And he does a great Elvis, and he's a cool cat and easy to work with as well. So if you want to see a great Elvis show, contact Jay at his Facebook. Well, that's it. Another Tribute Land podcast in the tank. See you out there, everybody. The last dance for me. I'll make a promise that you'll save the last dance for me. Save the last dance, the very last dance.